everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We hope you are having a very good day. It is Thursday, October the 2nd, 2014. We are broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, News Talk Radio's strongest station here in Southern Arizona. And of course, we make it very easy for you to hear our program on your schedule with our podcasts and the complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Our candidate interview series with today, Republican congressional hopeful in District Number 1, Arizona Speaker of the House Andy Tobin. About 20 past the hour, we'll meet the music director for the Tucson Chamber Artists. 30 minutes past the hour, the mayor of Phoenix, Greg Stanton, will be joining us about this historic water agreement worked out yesterday between the cities of Phoenix and Tucson. And then we'll close out the show with the legal advisor for the Buckmaster Show, this big decision today. That'll be Don Luce, the big decision concerning redistricting going to the U.S. Supreme Court. But let's welcome right now on the Buckmaster Show live line the Speaker of the Arizona House, Republican candidate for Congress in the sprawling Congressional District Number 1, the biggest district really in the United States, with the exception of Wyoming. Speaker Tobin, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
How are things going with the campaign? Is the difference between you and Representative Kirkpatrick, your opponent, are those differences quite sharp?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think everyone's pretty sure they're quite sharp. I mean, at the end of the day, just the border security issues alone there's a dynamic shift in that. The amount of times she's voted against border security versus no state in the country is fought for border security more than Arizona is clear. I mean, her campaign flies a Mexico flag at the parade in Eloy and forgets the American flag. I mean, there's an awful lot of reasons that the psyche of how Congresswoman Kirkpatrick has voted and what she really believes versus me. I think it's a dramatic change.
You have been saying that Congresswoman Kirkpatrick has been carrying President Obama's baggage. What do you mean by that?
Well, clearly we've got when you look at the Obamacare issue right from the get-go, and you can see that even after she voted in support of Obamacare, and then when they were trying to make changes, when the president said you can keep your plan, she said, yes, you can keep your plan. Then a bill comes up to say, hey, you can keep your plan, and she votes no. I mean, these are things that are told when they come up and they say, okay, well, during the government shutdown, well, let's pass some, CR so that, you know what, we'll be able to open the Grand Canyon if we do this, and she votes no. Well, other Democrat lawmakers in the state of Arizona voted with Republicans to open the Grand Canyon. You'll remember we closed down veterans' memorials during that close down. Well, there were CRs to help keep those open. Well, other congressional Democrats, even in Arizona, voted with Republicans to keep those open. But Ann Kirkpatrick voted no. During the EPA, this EPA crisis that's going on, the truth of the matter is that she votes with the president and she votes with Nancy Pelosi. And those are positions I'll never be on. When you're on the horizon and, they ask you, do you think cutting taxes help the economy? She said no. I say yes. So if you agree with that process, I suppose then that you have to vote with Ann Kirkpatrick, because if you're never going to cut taxes, the only way for them to go is up. And clearly, I would never have voted for what amounts to almost $1 trillion over 10 years in cutting Medicare. If I had done that as a Republican, the media would have gone crazy attacking me. So the Obamacare piece includes cutting Medicare over 10 years, $1 trillion. So I don't know that you can be any more different than with Congresswoman Kirkpatrick and my record. So, our cuts to the military, I think most people believe that we're not as safe as we once were. Certainly this president's policies as he's gone forward with international security has been abysmal. I haven't heard Congresswoman Kirkpatrick come out and attack that or say that's just wrong. Quite frankly, I support the president, at least starting on the attacks in Syria. I support that effort. I think Congress should go back and give them authority to do that as well. But I haven't heard that coming from Congresswoman Kirkpatrick either. So, she clearly, in my view, this is San Francisco trying to take over Congressional District 1. And I think she's completely lost touch with our voters and completely lost touch with the jobs and the economy here. And so I think it's night and day.
She has been hammering away at you you and the leadership in the legislature cut education funding. What do you say to that?
Well, I think most people who were here during the crisis of our with the greatest recession, probably even worse than during the Great Depression here in Arizona, we were stuck with the problem of clearing up budget because we didn't even have payroll. So I explained to Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, I said, here in Arizona, we can't get money. And for someone like her to come back from Washington and now tell us after we averted a crisis what we should have done is absurd, considering the fact that she continues to raise this debt. It's gone from $10 trillion to $18 trillion almost while she's been in Congress. So somewhere along the line, this debt cycle will come to an end, and it puts our country at great risk, both national security and economically, puts us at great risk, and she doesn't pay any attention to it. So today, the University of Arizona has funding that Ethan Orr and myself worked for to make sure that they get a shot at doing a veterinarian school, putting money back into community colleges, putting money in the joint technology districts for our local schools to help them, helping this charter school conversion. Those were all pieces that we worked together with, especially that helps down in Tucson. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. The Arizona School Board Association named me Legislator of the Year. The School Superintendents Association named me Legislator of the Year. The School for the Blind and Dyslexic named me Legislator of the Year. So while Anchor Patrick wants to attack for that, the fact of the matter is people know how supportive I am of education. My daughter is in college now. She wants to be a math teacher in high school. So I have to answer to that conversation quite regularly. So, the truth is when you don't have money, what are you supposed to do? And here in Arizona, I voted, carried, and went out and worked to pass Proposition 100. And you remember what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sales tax. So Congresswoman Kirkpatrick is mad that I cut education and cut the entire state budget, quite frankly, cut the budget. And yet I'm out there as a Republican trying to pass Proposition 100, a three-year, one-cent sales tax. And Congresswoman Kirkpatrick opposes that. So she opposes me making budget cuts. Then she opposes me trying to raise revenue to keep the cuts lower. So it's just kind of an amazing. When you have a lot of money and you've been able to raise a lot of money, you can say whatever you want on TV.
Let's talk a little bit about what's called comprehensive immigration reform. What do you see as the ticket there?
Well, I think the answer at the end of the day is someone has to get serious and say that truly the border has got to be secured. And I think I mentioned in my opening comments to you, I think no one could argue across the country that Arizona hasn't done more for border security than any other state. Few people would ever be able to argue that, whether it be in court or the legislation we've passed or the fights we've had with this administration. Well, I've been at the table for 6 years in leadership for a speaker. I've been in the legislature for 8 years, so I've been right here. Law enforcement, almost across the board, law enforcement agencies around the state have endorsed me. And that includes the state Border Patrol Union. That includes, by the way, just yesterday, first responders, which is our rural fire districts, which is our state fire chiefs association. They've all endorsed me. They all understand that there's a crisis at the border, and they're sitting here saying, Tobin's been the one who's been down there. I went down to the border and met with the mayor, and Mayor Garino had gotten me a walkthrough when those children were coming in from Honduras and from Central America. And when I got 45 minutes away, the secretary of, it wasn't a secretary, I guess it was a national security, called and didn't want me to go in that building. So, I have been on the cutting edge of being here and fighting for for our border security, fighting now for national security because it's a national security issue. And Anchor Patrick has voted no more times than I can count, even when she was here in the legislature. So I think that our differences are very clear. I suppose she has some variation of immigration reform, and I suppose she wants everybody to believe this is about, you know, I'll close the border. But she's been at this for a long time, and she's done nothing. I've been at it a long time, and I've voted and passed bills and fought the war, and she's been AOL.
You know, when you look at the district, you've got some really divergent interests, but is there something that really unifies District 1, do you think?
Yes. Oh, there's a lot of things that unify it. You got tourism unifies it. I mean, it's incredible when folks, the size of the district is truly no burden for me. I love this district. It just takes time getting from place to place. But, you know, when you really think about this district, and you think, you know, look at where we are. This is Canyon de Chelly. This is Meteor Crater. This is Petrified Forest. This is Painted Desert. This is, the White Mountains. This is, come into cotton farming. Come into, you know, these beautiful places in Marana and Maricopa and Casa Grande and Tucson. And look with the beauty. And by the way, I haven't even gotten into the Red Rocks. I haven't even gotten into Flagstaff. I haven't even mentioned the Grand Canyon or Williams. This is an incredible district. Tourism is huge here. Shutting down the Grand Canyon and keeping those parks closed was absurd. No one representing Congressional District 1 could ever have cast that vote. And you could never have cast a vote like that. I can't even imagine someone living in this district would have done that to our tourism industry.
All right.
So tourism is a big deal, but our highway money, our law enforcement, and our education system is a very big deal.
Gonna have to run, Speaker Tobin.
Great.
Where can people find out more about the campaign?
Oh, great. AndyTobin.com.
And, well, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh,
thanks.
Very nice. Thanks for giving me some time.
All right. Andy Tobin with us on The Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:17 on this Thursday afternoon, broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and live streaming at buckmastershow.com.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
.12:21 now on the Buckmaster Show. We were having a few transmitter issues, so if there was any portion of the interview with Speaker Tobin that you did not hear, it will be available. And of course, we're live streaming, which did not have transmitter issues, at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. But the important thing is that all of our shows are archived and podcast for you, and they're usually available by about 2:00 in the afternoon. Tucson Chamber Artists ready to kick off a new season on October 11th. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Eric Holden, the music director for the TCA, which is now really put together more than a decade. Is that correct, Eric? Here,
yes,
providing wonderful music in Tucson.
Yes, thanks, Bill, and it's great to be on your show, and it's an honor. Thank you. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary season, which was wonderful. It was a record-breaking season for us, and we're about to enter our second decade of presenting concerts as Southern Arizona's professional chamber choir and orchestra.
How do you make music, the chamber music, more accessible to Tucson?
Well, part of our success is the unique niche, I think, that we fill, and that is, as I mentioned, is being the only professional chamber choir and orchestra. That allows us to perform the kind of repertoire that isn't performed often. You know, there are plenty of professional choirs around America, and certainly professional symphonic or orchestral groups, but we are fairly unique in bringing the two together. So that's partly why we're accessible and have been so successful.
You've got the 200th anniversary of the National Anthem. I did not realize that anniversary was coming up. You obviously did, and you have put together a program around it.
Yes, we're really excited about this program, not only because it's the opening of our second decade, but we're going to celebrate the 200th anniversary of our National Anthem, and it's had quite a history. We're going to dedicate a segment of the program to tracing the evolution of that piece, which actually started with an 18th century tune from London that made its way over to the United States. And it comes out of what we call the broadside ballad tradition, which is interesting because it gets to the fact that as Americans, we used to do a lot more singing in public.
Mm-hmm.
And these broadside sheets of paper, if you will, were posted in various public places not necessarily with musical notes, but just with words and reference to familiar tunes to which these words could be applied. And the Star Spangled Banner is actually one of those songs. As you know, Francis Scott Key wrote the anthem. He wrote it as he was observing the British attack on Baltimore. And of course, America was triumphant in that battle. The flag was still standing, mm-hmm. as the mm-hmm. lyrics mm-hmm. suggest. That tune was a well-known tune in America at that time, but to different sets of words. And even after the Star Spangled Banner was written, that tune was used for other lyrics, including. By organizations connected with the temperance movement in the 1840s and the abolitionist movement in the 1860s. So it has quite the history.
And it will have you'll have a full program really around that history at five different venues. Tell us where you're going to be performing.
Well, our season theme, I should mention, is called Music Where You Live. Mm-hmm. This actually flows out of a study we did with our audience who told us that what's really important to them is being able to attend concerts that are close to home.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually expanding this season by 50% in terms of the number of performances that we're giving over last year. And we're going out to more neighborhoods, bringing our music to more people. So, for instance, we'll be in Green Valley on Friday afternoon. This is of next week. Mm-hmm. And then at the Scottish Rite Temple mm-hmm. on Friday evening. And by the way, the Davis Monthan Color Guard will be on hand for that Friday evening concert to present the colors in connection with this commemoration of our national anthem. We're at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Midtown on Saturday. Sunday afternoon, we're up in the community of Catalina. And Sunday evening, we're over at Eastside, on Eastside Church. So we're really trying to cover all the bases with the community.
How many programs will there be then during the season?
So this season, there are six programs. And in total, we're giving 24 performances, which, as I said, is a 50% increase over last year.
Tell us about the makeup of the Tucson Chamber Artists. How large a group are? It's a diverse group, I'm sure.
It is. As I mentioned, it's comprised mm-hmm. of professional singers and instrumentalists. It represents the best of the local Tucson talent. And then we complement, especially with our choir, we complement with professional voices from around the country. So we have a number of people who come from Boston and New York and, of course, Phoenix and L.A. and wanting to create, one of this country's finest professional choirs. That is really our vision, to be a leader in that regard.
We're speaking with Eric Holden. He is the music director for the Tucson Chamber Artists. He has a background with the Tucson Symphony. You were the assistant concert master?
I was the assistant chorus master for several years.
Master. Yep. Okay. What's the connection with Tucson Meet Yourself, which is the weekend actually of your big opening?
Well, as you know, the Tucson Meet Yourself is a huge, mm-hmm. successful festival coming up that celebrate the various folk traditions of our community and our country. And so our Friday evening opening night concert at the Scottish Rite Temple downtown mm-hmm. is going to be part of the festival. This concert, which, as we've been talking about, is partly commemorating the 200th anniversary of the National Anthem, is also going to present a number of other pieces of music that have anthem-like status. For instance, a couple of Stephen Foster tunes, My Old Kentucky Home, which is the state song mm-hmm. of Kentucky, and Old Folks at Home, which is the state song of Florida.
So it's going to be the National Anthem is the platform, really kind of the centerpiece, but to build this whole really program around.
Exactly.
Yes. So the growth, 50% up over the last few years, while other organizations have struggled, why, obviously you're resonating with the folks. There's a need or a feel that people need chamber music.
I think so. And as I mentioned, our success is based on the uniqueness of the repertoire we're presenting,
mm-hmm.
the fact that we're making our music accessible in the various communities, in neighborhoods, in the area. top level performers, you know, in outstanding performance. Affordability of tickets, that's part of our mission as well, as being accessible, you know, making our tickets accessible by a broader segment of the community.
And where can people find out more information about the season?
They can go to our website, which is TucsonChamberArtists.org.
And yourself, your background is in what area of music? Obviously chorus, but mm-hmm. you also play a few instruments.
I started my musical life as an organist in a church. It was the king of instruments, which really caught my attention.
That's what did it for you. It resonated with you and kept on resonating.
Totally.
Eric Holden, thank you very much from Tucson Chamber Artists. Good luck with your upcoming season, a very ambitious opening weekend on October 11th at those five different venues. More on the website. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Bill.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal?
then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, with live streaming at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Well, amid projections of a Colorado River shortage, the city of Phoenix made an unprecedented deal to share extra water with the city of Tucson, as well as store water for later use. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, the mayor of the city of Phoenix, Greg Stanton. Mayor Stanton, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's very serendipitous having you on today, because this is a pretty big deal. How did this come about, and what's it mean for all of us in the state's two largest cities anyway?
Well, obviously, everyone listening to this show understands that we've got serious challenges when it comes to water in the state of Arizona. Both Phoenix and Tucson have done very, very well in terms of water planning, but we have to be cognizant of the fact that we are now in year 14 of a drought, and all of us, not just federal leaders, not just state leaders, but city leaders, need to take active steps to do all we can to make sure we are preparing for future drought. We hope and pray that there is heavy snowfall this winter and in future years so we can end the drought, but in the meantime we have to prepare for continued drought. One way of doing that is to partner so that each of the cities can take advantage of our assets. And of course, Phoenix and Tucson have a great relationship. Mayor Rothschild and I have a very good close working relationship. Our professional staffs have good close working relationships. And so this really came from our demand that there be creativity in our departments and asking the departments work together. In this case, Tucson had some additional capacity in their aquifers. We wanted to do more to make sure we protected our Colorado River allotment. We only use two-thirds of it, and so we want to make sure we're doing the best we can to protect it over the long haul. And so asking Tucson and having them store that extra water in the aquifers is good for them, because it gets a little easier to pump water, and it protects our long-term water interests. So it's the proverbial win-win.
Mayor Stanton with us on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to our live line. Caller Jim would like to ask the mayor a question about CAP water issues. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Mayor Stanton. Listen, you know, wouldn't it be better for Tucson overall, or excuse me, for Phoenix overall, if we had two concepts that we could look at with water? One is somehow screening the CAP so we don't lose water in evaporation, and two, damming the Santa Cruz so we can store even more water.
Well, first off, thank you for the question. Just due to lack of expertise, I won't say anything relative to the damming issue. But on the issue of better protection and storage of the CAP water so we don't lose water to evaporation, yes, that's something that, again, not just the federal government, not just the state, but the cities, I think, need to be actively involved in. Look, climate resiliency, climate adaptation, these are real issues that cities are facing. So doing more, including looking at some of the ideas that you suggested, doing more to make sure that we protect the water that's there are very, very good ideas.
Mayor, you're in town. You're in Tucson today for the Arizona Mayor's Education Roundtable, which you've been chairing. What is this about, this roundtable?
Well, it's a group of 10 mayors, a bipartisan group of mayors representing the largest cities in the state, including Mayor Rothschild and myself, and mayors from all across the state, that are coming together and saying, we want to do more in education. No, we don't run our public schools, but there's a lot of things that we as mayors and leaders can do to support our schools, and the recognition that as our schools go, so go the future of our city. So I just left the meeting to do this interview, but there was a great report by the United Way here in Pima County about what they're doing to support disconnected youth, young people that are have not finished high school but are not working, how we get them re-engaged in either education or employment, and some of the ideas that are going to go that are happening here in Tucson, I am super excited about, and I'm going to steal those ideas and use them in Phoenix because they're really good ideas about how to re-engage youth. We've also gotten studies done through the Mayor's Education Roundtable about the economic impact of having too many dropouts. It's a huge issue in our state, and I think mayors are uniquely positioned because we have a lot of credibility, particularly credibility in the business community, to make the case that if we don't get our hearts and minds to take active steps to increase the graduation rate, increase the college attainment rate, that economically is going to be devastating to our state. We've got to improve in that regard. So that's just a couple of the issues that we as mayors are trying to show leadership on.
I know Mayor Rothschild and you are very active in improving trade with Mexico. By the way, Mayor Rothschild will be our Friday Focus interview tomorrow here on the Buckmaster Show. So we'll
he can correct any facts that I have stated today.
He'll be doing the cleanup hitting tomorrow. I want to know about the update on the trade office in the Federal District, Mexico City, and how the cities are going to have a stake in that. It's not just a state effort.
Well, first off, I have a very good working relationship with Mayor Rothschild. I admire him in many ways. Probably the area that I admire him most on is his focus on making the case that improved relationships with Mexico, improved relationships with cities in Mexico, improved business relationships with Mexico is critically important for both the economy here in Tucson as well as the rest of the state of Arizona. He's been relentless on that issue, and he's made a difference. When he and I were both elected mayor at the same time and took office right about the same time, one of the first things we did together as city leaders was to visit Mexico, both Hermosillo, which happens to be Phoenix's sister city in the state of Sonora, as well as Mexico City, to start repairing some of the relationships that had been hurt because of some of the divisive laws that were passed here in Arizona. And I know Mayor Rothschild's gone back many times. I've been to Mexico 8 times in my 2.5 years as mayor, and it's culminating with a visit next week in which we will be opening up the state Trade and Tourism Office, the Arizona Commerce Authority, in partnership with Phoenix, in partnership with Tucson, in partnership with many private sector entities, is actually going to open up a Trade and Tourism Office in Mexico City. Look, Mexico is our number one trading partner, but man, we have barely scratched the surface, in my opinion, of the depth of that relationship and the importance of that relationship. And other states have done better than we have, and that's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to Mayor Rothschild. So we're rolling up our sleeves and really getting to work in showing, making the case both here locally and doing what we can to make the case down in Mexico about how important this business relationship is between our two cities and our respective states and countries.
Phoenix Mayor Stanton with us on the Buckmaster Show. Of course, Phoenix Light Rail has done very well. There's an expansion coming there. Have you had a chance to check out the Tucson system yet?
I have not. Mayor Rothschild has bragged to me about it, the streetcar system. I want to congratulate he and so many other people that have worked hard on that. I know he and I share a passion that you can't be a great city unless you have a real multimodal experience. That includes walkability and bikeability, and Tucson is a great biking town, and then increase public transportation, including things like streetcar and buses. It is all part of a comprehensive transportation system, and I'm proud of Tucson and the community for taking a leadership role on that, and I hope to get on it while I'm down here.
How about the expansion of your system in Phoenix?
Well, we need to do it. So we had a public vote in 2000 called Transit 2000, in which the citizens of Phoenix overwhelmingly supported resources for beginning our light rail system, increasing our bus transportation system, by the way, including neighborhood circulators, which are almost van-like public transportation that goes from place to place within a neighborhood, increasing accessibility within one's neighborhood. We have a few of those throughout the city, and they're very, very popular. Bus rapid transit, actually increasing bus pullouts for those that actually don't utilize transportation but want to benefit from the program as well. But the reality is that resource goes out of place in 2020. We have money right now to maintain it, but we don't have money to expand the system, so we're going to go back to the voters and ask for their support so that we can continue on a path of increasing as many transportation options as possible, and I could not be more excited about it. A city has to be a great transportation city to maximize its potential.
Okay, Mayor Stanton, we will let you go and get back to your meetings.
All right.
Tucson City Hall, we appreciate
Thank
you spending
you so
part of your lunch hour with us. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Mayor Greg Stanton, mayor of the city of Phoenix, with us on the Buckmaster Show. The mayor of the city of Tucson will be with us tomorrow as our Friday Focus interview. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a big weekend. If you're a bicycle fan, head over to the cycle event that's going on, the Tour of the Gila. And that should be great over in Silver City, just as I say, 3 hours east of Tucson. Lots of great places to stay, like Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park or Pinos Altos Cabins. You can find out about the places to stay and the things to do in Silver City and Grant County at southwestnewmexico.org.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Once a month, we talk legal affairs with our legal contributor, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates. They have offices here in Tucson and up in the Phoenix Valley. Mr. Luce is the author of two very popular books, in fact, so popular that Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, is now in its second printing, doing very well. And Estate Planning in Arizona is the other important book, What You Need to Know, and something we all need to know about, and that is estate planning. Don Luce, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Got to talk about the top legal story that's making news here in Arizona. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided that they will... they're going to consider, I guess, hearing a challenge by Arizona Republicans to the state's congressional districting map. Is that what you understand?
Yes. In fact, just this morning, the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case. Now, by way of background, Arizona, unlike some other states, actually has a commission that essentially every several years redesigns the districts for the congressional elections. And Arizona has nine separate districts. Democrats hold five of those nine seats, and the Republicans hold the other four. So what the Republicans are saying in this lawsuit is that the commission itself doesn't have the authority to draft the districts, that is something that only the legislature has the authority to do. And where it gets the argument for that is the Elections Clause of the United States Constitution, which spells out the times, places, and manner of elections for senators and representatives, and says that it shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. So there's the key word, by the legislature. Now, this case has already been heard by a three-judge panel, and the three-judge panel, which was led by U.S. District Judge Murray Snow, said it's not that simple. He said, writing for the majority, that the term legislature doesn't necessarily refer to only the 90 members of the state legislature, but rather to the entire lawmaking process. And what he said basically was that the voters were within their right to say that a commission shall be charged with redistricting as opposed to the legislature. So the Republicans who lost that round in the trial court are now up at the Supreme Court, which has agreed to hear their case. But by way of a caveat, the court in its brief order also said that it's going to consider whether the legislature itself has standing to sue in the first place, which means does the legislature have the legal ability to bring this suit? And we've seen over the years, time and time again, especially in some of the more difficult cases, where the U.S. Supreme Court simply says the plaintiff doesn't have standing to bring suit and dismisses the suit on that basis alone. So I don't know if the question is really going to be answered.
It could be end of story with that, couldn't it?
Certainly. If the Supreme Court finds that there's no standing, the case will be dismissed.
We talk a lot about the legalization of marijuana. We've talked about it over many months with Don Luce, and now something new coming out concerning pot. It may be legal in the state of Colorado, but you can still be fired for using it.
In fact, there is a lawsuit that is being heard this week by the Colorado Supreme Court concerning that very set of facts. In this case, it's a case involving a quadriplegic medical marijuana patient who was fired by his employer after failing a drug test. And he was fired because he had THC in his blood. Well, as we know from previous discussions we've had on the subject, THC can actually stay in a person's system for weeks. And the Arizona Supreme Court wrestled with that very issue recently when a driver was arrested for DUI for having THC in his system, even though he hadn't used marijuana for several days before that. And the Arizona Supreme Court said, no, the mere presence of THC in a person's system isn't enough to convict that person for driving under the influence under Arizona law. Well, in Colorado, this particular employee had THC in his system. There's no allegation in this case, by the way, that he was under the influence or was impaired at work, but he was fired because he had used medical marijuana at some point previously. So the Colorado Supreme Court is going to have to decide essentially what's more important, a medical marijuana patient using marijuana or an employer's right to basically impose drug-free policies in the workplace. So there's a real conflict. Now, under Arizona law, this case may never have gotten to court because the voters in Arizona in 2010 included a specific provision in the Medical Marijuana Act that makes it illegal for an employer to fire or discipline an employee by reason of the person's status as a registered marijuana user. And in fact, in Arizona, the only way an employer can essentially discipline or fire an employee is if the person uses or possesses the drug at work. That's one. Two is shows up to work impaired. And third is if they're involved in federal contract work where a drug-free work environment is required by federal law. And a good example of this might be truck drivers or federal contractors. What comes to mind is Raytheon, where they're working on federal contracts. Those employers, in my estimation, can certainly fire somebody who has THC in his system, but an employer in Arizona who's not working on a federal contract and whose employees are not impaired or possessing the drugs at work, I think are in a position where they cannot take action against the employee because of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act.
Again, the conflict between state and federal law over marijuana, and this will take years probably before it's sorted out, before we have some really kind of uniform point of view on this. We may never have that, but
well,
who knows?
You know, right now, 23 states and Washington, D.C. allow medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. Arizona's one of them. And Colorado and Washington also allow recreational sale. Mm-hmm. So you've got about half of the states in the United States that permit some form of medical, of some form of marijuana usage under state law. But federal law prohibits possession or use of marijuana under any circumstance. So, you know, you have this conflict which isn't getting any easier to resolve, and you're getting these cases out of the states. The one we just talked about mm-hmm. came out of Colorado, which are sort of testing the concept of who has the paramount right, the employer or the employee, and how do you reconcile that relationship under a law that allows for recreational use of marijuana?
And of course, when we have a presidential election in 2016, all of this could change.
It could. And the reason it could change is because it's only through an administrative order that the DEA is not taking action against medical marijuana dispensaries
exactly.
or medical marijuana stores in states like Colorado where marijuana is legal for recreational use.
But you could see the circumstances where a new president would come in that might be real hard line on this and say federal government, we're going to call the shots on this whole marijuana thing.
Easily.
Yeah.
I can envision that easily. So it and that brings up another interesting point, and it concerns the investors who have put hundreds of thousands of
huge.
Dollars into these dispensaries and have these huge investments based on the state law. If mm-hmm. the federal government changes its position regarding enforcement, I would submit that those businesses are at risk.
Yeah, I would too. Don Luce with us on the Buckmaster Show. And Don is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. There's always something in the legal arena to talk about in Arizona. So you really hit the jackpot here with Arizona Laws 101.
Thank you, Bill.
And then estate planning in Arizona, if you people say, well, oh, I'm going to do it, but they never seem to get around to it, and they really should get around to it.
Well, you know, estate planning isn't just about things that rich people need to worry about. It's really about family protection and succession planning, and it includes things like healthcare directives and living wills and guardianship for children. So I would suggest that everyone, whether you have a lot of money or a little bit of money, ought to think about estate planning. And the booklet that I put out, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, I hope addresses concerns that a lot of people have in that subject.
All right. Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates offices here in Tucson, conveniently located just off River Road, and of course up in the Phoenix area. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. All of our in-studio guests, Mr. Luce enjoying a nice swig of Culligan water right now. Thanks, Culligan, for your support. For Tucson at 4 is our newest local talk show, 4 to 5 here with Mike Shaw. Then our other talk shows, Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours of talk, really from 6 to 8, and then 8 to 9 with the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone. Then producer Rosemary Brett and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with the Buckmaster Show. Friday edition, we'll have the mayor of Tucson with us, Mayor Rothschild, tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.